This is Jay Sekulow. James Comey, former FBI director, under investigation by the Office of Inspector General for leaking.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Are you investigating Comey's handling of his memos? And does that include the classification issues? And should Mr. Comey expect a report when it is complete?
We received a referral on that from the FBI. We are handling that referral, and we will issue a report when the matter is complete, consistent with the law and rules that are a report that's consistent and takes those into account.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We found the implication that senior FBI employees would be willing to take official action to impact a presidential candidate's electoral prospects to be deeply troubling and antithetical to the core values of the FBI and the Justice Department.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Big takeaway from yesterday's hearings and from the hearings that are going on today, and that is that the Office of Inspector General has announced that James Comey is, in fact, under investigation based on a referral by the FBI to the OIG, to the Office of Inspector General, regarding the leaking of the information that were the notes from his meeting with the President of the United States. But what is very, very significant about this, and I'm going to refresh your recollection, as we say in evidentiary proceedings, from a June 8th, 2017 hearing, where the former director of the FBI talks about his memo, what he did with it, and why he did it. Take a listen.
So I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel.
And it did appoint a special counsel. That's when Bob Mueller was appointed shortly thereafter. Now, he leaked that information. That was information that he had based on a conversation he had with the President of the United States. He leaked that information to a friend of his for one purpose only, the appointment of a special counsel. Now, listen to what the Inspector General says about the way that was handled and what they're doing about it.
Are you investigating Comey's handling of his memos? And does that include the classification issues? And should Mr. Comey expect a report when it is complete?
We received a referral on that from the FBI. We are handling that referral, and we will issue a report when the matter is complete, consistent with the law and rules a report that's consistent and takes those into account.
Could you imagine if an FBI agent released a Form 302, which is their note forms, on a witness interview and released it to a third party to the press? What would happen to that FBI agent, Andy?
That FBI agent would be terminated immediately. I mean, and not only that, if the prosecutor or the prosecutor did that, an assistant U.S. attorney, take an FD-302 and release it to the press, termination immediately, out of office.
Out of office. This was done by then Director Comey for one purpose only, obtaining a special counsel, which he got, raises the issue of what is the basis upon which this entire investigation has taken place.
Yeah, the entire legitimacy, because what we are learning from the Inspector General is that the way that the Russia investigation was treated differently from the investigation of Hillary Clinton. We know that not just because of differences, but because the same people were conducting both investigations and treating them differently. Five of those people have been referred to review by the FBI's FBI's code of conduct and their professional responsibility office because of the difference in how they treated the Hillary Clinton investigation and the Russia investigation. Three of those five, when the special counsel was appointed, three of those five moved from the FBI Rush investigation to the special counsel investigation. It raises a legitimacy question, a serious one, about whether the special counsel's investigation began in a way that was already illegitimate.
There are six key players in the OLG's, or the Office of Inspector General's report. Three of those individuals also worked on Bob Mueller's probe. Two of them have now been referred to the Office of Professional Responsibility based on our reading of this report. We've got a lot to talk about. Your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back with your calls in just a moment. Again, 800-684-3110.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, so here's what you've got. We just had this report before the break. So there's five people have been referred over to the, what we believe is the Office of Professional Responsibility by the Office of Inspector General. The Professional Responsibility Office to see if there's violations of rules, regulations of the professional conduct. There would have been three of six because Lisa Page quit. She was the deputy director's attorney, Andrew McCabe. Now, what you have to understand is actually if you would have had Andy McCabe still there, he would have been referred over as well.
Yeah, should have been.
So Andy McCabe, though, was not on, as far as we can tell, did not have involvement in the, I mean, I guess we don't know, the Office of Special Counsel's investigation. But we do know this. Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, and Attorney 2. All were. Three of the six main players in this report were serving on Bob Mueller's team. Now, I just want to set that up for you so you understand what's going on here. Then listen to this. Trey Gowdy asked the question of Horowitz and is very specific on dates. You're going to hear this in a moment. He talks about the date of May 17th because that's the day the special counsel's named. And then just one day later, we now have another text message exchange. Take a listen to number 55.
Now, Bob Mueller was named special counsel on May the 17th, 2017. One day later, Mr. Horowitz, one day later, Peter Strzok is back on his phone texting some more. For me, in this case, I personally have a sense of unfinished business. I unleashed it with the Clinton email investigation. Now I need to fix it and finish it. Fix what?
Well, there is outlined in the report what Mr. Strzok's explanation for.
Oh, I know what he said.
Was.
I'm asking the guy who had a distinguished career in the Southern District of New York and had a distinguished career at the Department of Justice. Would you rather cross-examine Peter Strzok on that explanation, or would you rather direct the examination on that explanation?
Probably cross-examine.
That's what I thought.
So there's two aspects of this you need to understand. So Bob Mueller's appointed on the 17th. On the 18th, Peter Strzok, lead investigator on the Mueller probe now, was the lead investigator on the Clinton probe, says he's got a sense of unfinished business. I unleashed it with the Clinton email investigation. Let's talk about that for a minute. What did he unleash?
A problem for Hillary Clinton, that continuing problem that plagued Hillary Clinton's campaign, even though he had such animus for Donald Trump, is that they thought they could, by treating it with kid gloves, handle it specially, treat it specially. They were doing everything to not upset Hillary Clinton. Let's not have too many agents in the room because she could be the next president. Let's not make her feel like she's under too much pressure. She could be the next president. But then I think he meant unleashed because Jim Comey got out of control. Jim Comey with the announcements and the coming back and closing things and then announcing it again. That's what he felt like he unleashed and he couldn't control anymore. You unleash something, it means you have no more control over it. So I think he unleashed Jim Comey in a sense.
Yes.
Comey was acting inappropriately, as the inspector general said, by coming out and opening things and then reopening things, even though this person wasn't charged.
Which we condemned all three.
Right. And then so he needed to go back and fix it. Fix it meant take down Donald Trump.
All right. Now, Andy, he says the unleashed the Clinton investigation. Now I need to fix it and finish it. How do you read that?
That he needs to fix and finish with Donald Trump. Take care of him. Get rid of him. Knock him out of the scene. Do what's necessary to do to prevent them from being elected president of the United States. He has an agenda.
So this guy is the lead investigator on the Mueller probe for about 2 months. And I always wonder this question. I mean, he eventually gets taken off, but he was there for 2 months. What about what he did for the 2 month period? Attorney number two, we talked about yesterday, was there until February of this year. So Trey Gowdy pressed on, what do you mean by finish it? Take a listen.
How about finish it? When he said, I unleashed it, now I need to fix it and finish it. What do you think he meant by finish it?
I think in the context of the emails that occurred in August and the prior August that you outlined, I think a reasonable explanation of it or a reasonable inference of that is that he believed he would use or potentially use his official authority to take action.
To take action to do what? Stop Donald Trump from being president. Now, you need to understand who these people are. Peter Strzok is a counterintelligence agent who was promoted to deputy assistant director of the espionage section in September of 2016. He was assigned to lead the Russian investigation. That's the initial investigation before the special counsel on Russian interference in July of 2016. Page and Strzok, that's Lisa Page, accepted invitations to work on the special counsel staff in 2017. Strzok was removed from the special counsel's investigation on approximately July 28th, the end of July 2017, and returned to the FBI in another position. And that was the day after, of course, the reports on the text messaging. Lisa Page was special counsel to former Deputy Director Andy McCabe, who was issues raised with him for lack of candor, which is another way of saying lying while under oath. She served as McCabe's liaison to the mid-year investigation. She also worked on the Russian investigation and told the Office of Inspector General that she served the same liaison function as she did in the mid-year investigation. That's the Clinton investigation. Page and Strzok both accepted, again, work on the special counsel's team. She was there for about a month and a half, but returned to work in the deputy director's office. She explained that many of the supervisors on the mid-year team were also assigned to the Russia investigation, and they were super occupied with the Russia investigation during October. In other words, not on the Clinton investigation. That's what that says.
They were super involved in that leading up to the election, and then they got really upset the night Donald Trump won. And so they went into another mode. So first they kind of started ignoring Hillary Clinton. But by doing that, I think it was to their own demise because Jim Comey kind of took control and started acting on his own but with his announcements and then unannouncements and then coming back in late October with another announcement saying they were reopening it. I think a lot of these individuals blame themselves because they were focusing so much on Russia and Donald Trump that they were letting Jim Comey kind of go make these decisions without taking anyone's advice, or at least he wasn't listening to them. I mean, there's so much dysfunction there. But then you realize that they decided that even after Donald Trump was elected in November, the texts don't stop. They believed they could take him down through these probes. They could eventually lead to, there's only one thing it would be, impeachment. That they would be responsible for getting the President of the United States impeached through the work that they do with these probes.
Yeah, so look, the undercurrent upon which, the basis upon which this entire investigation, the entire special counsel investigation started, is infected here. How could you say it's not, by the way, when you had Page, Strzok, and Attorney 2? And we don't have to go over Attorney 2's comments again, but those were pretty dramatic.
They were, Jay, and it indicates to me that there was definitely a pre-existing bias, and it is infection. It's a venom that has existed in this investigation that has tainted it from the very beginning. And it, in my view, it taints it, and the taint is not something that can be erased or effaced very easily, if at all, because it started in a fraudulent effort by Comey to get a special counsel the person that was appointed to head up this team, Strzok, is a corrupt official. The report with respect to Comey, deeply troubling, antithetical to the standards of the FBI. Strzok is corrupt. Lisa Page is corrupt. Attorney number two is corrupt. I mean, what are you trying? Where are we going here with this investigation and the corruption that underlies every single thing that they have done for the last year?
Let me play this. Dick Durbin. Oh, let's save this for the next segment. I think it's worth it for the next segment. We should spend a segment on this. We've really analyzed this sound for you in this testimony. All right, let's go ahead and take a call. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Scott calling in from Massachusetts online too. Scott, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
Good.
Hey, Jay, I got my question for you. With all this that's going on with McCabe and Comey, Strzok, and all this, and this whole big investigation thing, there's one thing I haven't heard from anybody, from Hannity, from you, from all these shows that I've been watching on it, and it's, why hasn't anybody in the Senate or somebody called for the reopening of the whole email investigation? Or is this double jeopardy in play?
Listen, I think here's the thing. I don't think. Let me say something here. There is an investigation going on in Utah, okay, that is looking at the previous investigations. But I don't think we go towards these investigations. I just think that's. I think right now the focus has to be on what happened here. That's my view. Go ahead, George.
Now, I do think there was some discussion yesterday. I don't know if we have the sound from it about reopening these investigations entirely and restarting them because they were so corrupt from the beginning. Specifically the investigation of Hillary Clinton, though I do agree that most people believe they want to get to the bottom of what happened here, how it's affected the ongoing and current investigations like the Russia investigation. That is not one that is over, but one that is current. So is it affecting that? Has it delegitimized that investigation? That's what we're dealing with in the present. I think relitigating the past at this point doesn't help anyone politically. I think, though, what we can do is help clear out, use all of this to help clear out the FBI. And I would have expected a lot stronger statements from that FBI director, new FBI director, Christopher Wray. We didn't get that yesterday either.
All right, we're going to take more calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. I want to play what Dick Durbin had to say coming up because I think, again, this was probably not the answer he was expecting from the Office of Inspector General from Horowitz. So let's see. What that looks like. We'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Appreciate your support for the American Center for Law and Justice. That's ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. Also, let me say this quickly here. Pray for Pastor Andrew Brunson. Some developments there we're working on as well. So we want to encourage you to keep praying for him and his family. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
right, so we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Jordan said this during the break, and he says reset it. So we've had two hearings that have taken place. Let's explain what these are so people know what we're talking about.
Yes, yesterday it was the Senate Judiciary Committee. Today it's two committees, the House of Representatives, together joining up. So you're hearing from members, again, of the House, both Republicans and Democrats. These hearings have gone on. Yesterday's a very long hearing. Today's will be probably just as long. And what you're seeing is the Inspector General today be questioned. Yesterday, the FBI director was also part of the questioning as well from the U.S. senators. Most of the questioning is focused on the same areas, which is how did this happen? What is going to be done about it? And how does it affect current investigations as well, like the Russia investigation? Because so many of the people who were being investigated for wrongdoing in the Clinton investigation, or what they call, that's what you hear, mid-year. The mid-year investigation, that's what that means. So many of the top-level people there had also crossed over and become top-level people in the Russia investigation.
Which
and
is then separate from the joined, Office of Special Counsel.
And then joined the Special Counsel's right. team, ultimately.
Yeah, so you had three phases. You had the Clinton investigation, the Russia investigation, and the Office of Special Counsel. Now, Dick Durbin asked a question. It was an interesting question. Take a listen to this.
The communication, which you go into detail describing, between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page includes some damning statements. And you make that very clear in your conclusion about their possibly using their governmental authority to achieve a political result. Is that correct?
That's correct. I felt that was very serious error.
And that should not be downplayed by anyone. It was serious.
That should not be downplayed by anybody. I can't think of something more concerning than a law enforcement officer suggesting that they're going to try and use or may use their powers to affect an election.
So these were government officials that were doing that. And by the way, that includes James Comey, because if you recall, when he came out and announced that he listed all the things that he alleged that Secretary Clinton did wrong and then said, I'm not going to prosecute, which there should have just been nothing. I mean, what he should have said was nothing. They declined to prosecute. That's it. You don't make announcements. And then he reopens it and then he closes it again. So that whole 1, 2, 3 were wrong, Andy.
Yes, of course. That's not the way. And we've said this on this program many times. James Comey is a usurper. He is a fraud. He is a liar. He is two-faced. He is duplicitous. He is slimy. He is sleazy. He is all those things. And this investigative report by the OIG that has just come out simply confirms that. Who are you, Comey, to make a prosecutorial decision that you're not going to prosecute Hillary Clinton when you're nothing but the director of the FBI and there is an incumbent sitting attorney general, Loretta Lynch, who makes that prosecutorial decision?
They said he was insubordinate and usurped the authority of the attorney general of the United States. A pretty serious charge. All right, let's go ahead.
It goes to his whole book, though. Yeah. He believes he serves something higher than people, higher loyalty, when in fact he was inside a government structure where he served an attorney general. Yeah. Who serves a president. I mean, there was a structure. The Inspector General made it very clear yesterday, and the FBI director, that they are saved by following their processes and rules. That's how the FBI doesn't cross the lines. They're human beings. They have political views. They've got their own personal issues and problems. So if they stay in the lines of their processes and their rules, they can conduct fair investigations that look fair and objective to the outside observer. The moment they start going outside those lines of rules and they no longer look objective, the minute they don't follow their processes in their line of command,
yep.
They no longer look like they are conducting fair elections or treating people equal under the law.
Let's play. John Cornyn asked that very question to Christopher Wray, the attorney, the FBI director. Take a listen.
Do you think it's appropriate for any director of the FBI to attribute their actions to a higher loyalty to some other cause other than the rule of law and the policies and guidelines of the Department of Justice?
Well, Senator, I don't want to speak to what Director Comey may or may not have been thinking, but what I can tell you is that my own view is that the rules, the policies, the guidelines, the long-established norms, as the Inspector General's report refers to them, those things are there for a reason, and it's important that we track those. And that's why when I'm going around from field office, doing town halls with over 30 offices, the point I keep making everywhere is that it's not enough to say that you're going to do the right thing for the right reason. That pretty quickly can become the ends justify the means. What we need to be doing is doing the right thing in the right way. So not let the ends justify the means, but let our means justify our ends.
That was a good statement from Chris Ray. All right, let's go ahead and take a call before the break here.
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. Let's go to Kathleen in New York on line three. Kathleen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, thank you, everyone. I just have a quick question about Lisa Page. Now, just because she quit or ran, which she should have with her head hung low, does that mean she cannot be like held accountable or have any kind of penalty? And the fact that she's a lawyer, wouldn't she be disbarred now from any kind of future practicing, considering she's so corrupt?
No. She could be disciplined inside her agency, but she's left the agency, so the agency doesn't have jurisdiction over her. So what you have is the report. And that the report feeds into the narrative of what happened. But you don't have independent ability to bring someone that's left the Department of Justice, Andy, in back in. You can't.
No,
that would
you
not
can't
be right.
That.
And that would not be
that
right.
That doesn't mean that they can't make findings with respect to what she did in her absence and so forth, but you can't discipline her. You can't demote her. I mean, she's gone. She's no longer
she had
the
right
agency.
To leave, and she did. So,
no one got into either that there was potential criminal conduct here?
No. There's no
allegation. Now, with Jim Comey's investigation with the leaking.
Maybe, but they don't. We don't know the scope and nature of the Office of Inspector General's where they're focusing.
We just know the
but there's
focus
not
on
been.
The leak.
What you saw with McCabe, they did do a criminal referral to the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C. So far here, we don't see anything. I don't see anything raising to that level. I'm going to try to grab one more call if we can. Let's get Jerry out of Rhode Island.
Hey, Jerry. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jerry.
Question C. After the chairman asked yesterday if an open investigation was done on Comey, was there a follow-up question on the date of when? Because you know everybody in the FBI was watching.
No, that's just now start. So that's just that referral has taken. It's called a referral. So the FBI refers it over to the Office of Inspector General, and then Andy, the Office of Inspector General will look at it with the Office of Professional Responsibility.
That is correct. The OPR, Office of Professional Responsibility, will take a look at it and make a determination with respect to things. That's correct.
That's the process in which it goes down. Now, having said that, let me say this, that you don't know where these are going until the reports come out. And these, as you see, these reports take a long time. It was very thorough to materialize. So we're going to talk more about that. We're going to bring in some of our other policy experts as well. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We encourage you to call in with comments or questions you have. Coming up in the next half hour, I'll be joined by two of our other experts to talk about some of the how this is kind of the consequences of this. We're going to look at some of the other testimony. There's some more from Trey Gowdy that's very, very important to play. We're going to give you that analysis. And also let you know where we think this thing goes. So, again, we will take your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. If you don't get the whole program, you can just go over to aclj.org, or you can easily just go over to Facebook and Periscope, and we're broadcast there, but also on aclj.org. We're a full TV production there. You can get the radio version or the video version, either one. We'll be back with your calls and comments, and don't forget your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. You could do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And again, we encourage you to stay engaged with us on various social media platforms, and we'll have more information coming up. Don't forget the next half hour here. We've got a lot more to talk about. So again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your calls and comments on all this when we come back from the break. Be back with you in a moment.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. We focus on a couple of things here. The Office of Inspector General report comes out. James Comey under investigation for leaking information. That information was his notes from his conversations with the president, Andy. So if that way, I said this at the beginning of the last half hour, but I'll reset it for those that may be just joining us. Can you imagine if an FBI agent were to release what's called a Form 302?
Right.
What would happen?
Be terminated and ended. And James Comey should have been terminated, and the president did the right thing. Here's a person who takes private notes of a meeting with the president of the United States and leaks those to somebody. Wasn't he in Columbia University in New York,
yep.
Jay?
Yes.
In order to get the decision that he wants to get, which is to get a special counsel appointed. So you see, the special counsel comes into this tainted ab initio from the very beginning.
Yeah.
He's tainted. Now his star witness... His star witness, James Comey,
right.
Has been referred to the Office of Professional Responsibility. No, sorry, is being investigated by the Inspector General.
For potentially leaking information that included his notes and conversations that he said he took on his wrote on his government computer while he was in his government vehicle and released them to his friend to get a special counsel.
Some of which determined have been classified, which would also lead to the potential for criminality. So not just sanctions by the FBI, but even... like in Andrew McCabe's case, one of those referrals for criminal review as well, which could come from this. Now, the question would be on this, though, is if this report took 17 months, likely this report would come after any action
yep.
on that Bob Mueller takes. I mean, it would seem that way, 17 months, if it has to take as long. Now, maybe this report, Dad, doesn't have to take as long because it's focused on Jim Comey and not focused on entire group of all these different FBI people. But I mean, if it took 17 months, this is the part of government that takes a long time. You do get a lot of great information ultimately. It's why you must stay engaged and informed, because if you don't, what'll happen is we'll get reports like this. It's everybody raises their hands. Oh, this is horrible. This is horrible. And then you know what? 5 years from now, same kind of thing will happen again. And we'll have another report. It's why this time we need to really take corrective action so that our government and our government agents aren't allowed to act this way. Let's go right to the phones. Tricia in Colorado, online too. Tricia, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Tricia. Go ahead.
Hi. The Inspector General's report talked about how there was no documented evidence that showed bias, but a lot of that evidence was destroyed by the servers being destroyed and the cell phones being completely demolished. So I was wondering how they would did they include that knowledge in there? And that
So it's not that there wasn't bias. They said there was not bias that impacted the final decision because of the layers of review that took place. I mean, as it related to Strzok and Page and the Russia investigation, Michael Horowitz said that it's not only was there bias, but that the entire process that they were engaged in was wrong. Andy?
That's correct. The process was wrong. And he makes that very clear, I think, in the report, Jay, in great detail with respect to this. So I think that there's clearly, you make inferences, and it's what's called circumstantial evidence. You may not find the smoking gun, but when you see the conversations that have been outlined and the statements that are made, you can make a conclusion that there is bias in the investigation. Well,
and I think when it came to the conclusion on the Hillary Clinton matter, like he said, there was clearly bias. It was, did bias determine the outcome? No, it was really Jim Comey, whatever was going on there, which is being separately investigated, that determined the outcome, because he went outside the normal practices by announcing, and this was a group who was not supportive of that, even though because they didn't want it to affect Hillary Clinton the way they did. Remember, they were changing the terminology. Yeah. So was Jim Comey. But he kind of took it to a whole nother level, to where I think it was tough for the Inspector General to say, was it their biases that really impacted? He thinks no, because what Jim Comey did was so outside the box.
Yeah. So, interestingly, in questioning between John Cornyn, Senator Cornyn, and Michael Horowitz, there's a whole discussion on this. I'll play it when we come back from the break. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be joined by Harry Hutchison and Wes Smith. And also, your comments coming in by Facebook and also on Twitter. We encourage that as well. Again, we'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. You can do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll be back with more in a moment.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me read something out of the Inspector General's report. We're deeply troubled by text messages between Strzok and Page that potentially indicated or created the appearance that investigative decisions were impacted by bias and improper considerations. Most of the text messages raising such questions pertain to the Russia investigation, which was not a part of this review. Nonetheless, when one senior FBI official, Strzok, who was helping to lead the Russia investigation at the time, conveys in a text message to another senior official, Page, that will, quote, stop candidate Trump from being elected, after other extensive text messages between the two disparaging candidate Trump, it's not only indicative of a biased state of mind, but even more seriously implies a willingness to take official action to impact the presidential candidate's electoral prospects. Then you have a series of conversations or questions that go on between Michael Horowitz and this one would be between Michael Horowitz and again and John Cornyn. And I think when you look at this, you have to understand that, and you can go back to the Gowdy one too, with bias. We've talked about that. Let me get Harry, your read, now that we've had the House hearings today, the Senate hearings yesterday, chance to review the report. What's your sense of what we have?
Well, my sense is as follows. Based on the IG's report and the IG's testimony, the entire Hillary Clinton investigation was clouded by FBI misconduct, because the best way to stop Donald Trump from becoming president was to ensure that Hillary Clinton was not indicted. And so one of the things that Peter Strzok and other FBI officials did is that they worked to ensure that she would not face charges. James Comey, for instance, rewrote a federal statute without authority in order to absolve Hillary Clinton of culpability.
So what, and Wes, your take on that aspect?
Yeah, the thing that strikes me, Jay, about this is that had the Inspector General not done this investigation, the people involved in this biased behavior and attempting to thwart a presidential election in the United States would still be on Mueller's investigation team. As it is, the Department of Justice and the FBI, and by association and by using the FBI as the source of much of its investigatory material, the Mueller special investigation has a serious credibility problem. With this IG report,
yep,
1.2 million documents, over 100 witness interviews later, there are serious questions about the FBI, and about the command climate there, if you will. And also,
what do you mean by command climate? Just the way it was run?
Yeah, leadership, you know, it's a blinding flash of the obvious. Leadership starts at the top. In the military, we had what we call command climate surveys. How is the culture? What is the leadership doing to promote the values and the principles that the institution is based on? I've seen military commanders get relieved of command because of a poor command climate. And under James Comey, there was a toxic command climate, if you will, at the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
And is that your sense? I mean, my sense is that there was, I mean, Horowitz says this, there was you get the bribery issues that he talks about,
right?
What Jordan mentioned yesterday on radio. You've got the leaking of information. This was, as Wes said, command problems, but this was deep within the agency at that point.
It was an atmosphere of toxicity. It really was. It was a poison atmosphere. I mean, making statements that how you're going to get a special counsel appointed, and then you get him appointed, and then the special counsel's chief investigator turns out to be corrupt and biased and making already decisions about how he's going to make sure that President Trump does not become President Trump. How does Mueller get out of something like this? How can he rectify the toxicity in the atmosphere of his investigation, Jay? That's the thing that I want to know.
Well, let me play what Trey Gowdy raised that issue. This is number 62.
Did you find any other FBI agents or FBI attorneys who manifest any animus or bias against President Trump?
We did.
How many?
We have found three additional FBI agents, as we detail in the report.
And were any of them working on the Russia investigation?
I'm sorry, let me just correct. Two agents and one attorney.
Two other agents, one other attorney. Were they working on either the Russia investigation or the Mueller probe?
I believe two of the three were, but I'd have to just double check on that.
So what you've got is two of the five referred were to the Office of Professional Responsibility. Actually were working in the Office of Special Counsel. At various times during this. So it's an interesting tangled web, is just a safe way of saying it. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We've got a couple lines open, but we do have a lot of calls and a lot of people waiting. So again, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, Lee calling in from Texas on line 5. Lee, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Lee.
Hey, Jay. Thanks for all you guys
sure.
do. I listened about 95% of this yesterday on Fox Radio, up to the point where Mr. Cruz talked. And I don't recall them saying that these senators on the radio were a Democrat or Republican.
Right.
But it was pretty obvious who was who. And what I guess I find really concerning and even probably just as disturbing as what this report is that did some of these senators even read this report? Because it seemed to turn into like a he said, she said situation with some of these guys.
It's 506. I mean, to their defense. It's 568 pages. So Jordan can explain to you his work for congressional staffs how that works. I mean, we've read the report. A lot of us have read the report. But we also prepared a 48 page. The summary is 48 pages. That's the summary of the report we did is 48 pages.
Yeah, I mean, you got to keep going back through it to even remember 568 pages. Obviously, their staff and their teams are going to pull out what they believe is most important and then drill down on that during the questioning, the limited time of questioning they have. So there will be, obviously, there are situations there where they may ask a question and the inspector general says, well, yeah, in page or footnote here, we did address that. But oftentimes, the reason why it sounds like they already know the answer is because they want the inspector general to make it clear so that it's not just a partisan Republican or Democrat senator telling the American people what is or isn't true. They want it to come clearly from the inspector general. So they ask a leading question that they know the inspector general knows the answer to, but they want him to say it on the record. They want him to say it was this many people who worked on the special counsel probe, who he also referred to the Office of Professional Responsibility to look at violations of the FBI's code of conduct. They wanted the special counsel to, they wanted the OIG to confirm the inspector general to confirm that Jim Comey was under investigation. They were doing a report on him. They want it not just to come from senators' mouths. They want it to come from the inspector general because they are seen as the one group in Washington which is not exposed to politics of the moment.
It's a big office,
though. It's a huge office.
People don't realize this. So the Office of Inspector General, Andy, inside the Department of Justice.
And each department has one.
And every agency has one. I mean, I believe that the number of employees in the OIG's office is over 500.
Yes, I was saying it was somewhere between 400 and 600.
Yeah. So that office has a tremendous amount of responsibility.
It does. I mean, they're the watchdog of the agency. They're supposed to go in there and see where the infection is and cauterize it and open it up and say, this is where the problem is and this is what you need to do to cure it. I mean, they're the watchdogs. They look in at each agency.
I want to say this. And, you know, people talk about deep state this, deep state that. Let me tell you what this is. This is not digging deep. I mean, this is right at the top of the agency. I mean, these are leaders of these agencies. We can go through the Bruce Orr, Nelly Orr, I did that yesterday. McCabe was a deputy. Bruce Orr, number four at DOJ. You'd had, of course, James Comey out. He was the director of the FBI. I mean, Page was a lawyer to the deputy director of the FBI. Strzok was the head of counterintelligence and was a deputy associate director of the FBI for espionage. So you look at this, Harry, and I'm saying you don't have to dig so deep to find the problem.
I think you're absolutely correct.
But it does go down also to attorney one and attorney two when FBI employee one, the unnamed individuals. It's both.
And so there's a saying out there that cream rises to the top. I think the IG's report shows that corruption rises to the top. And so it all starts with Andrew McCabe and former FBI director James Comey. They were corrupt. They were leakers. They were insubordinate. And that culture permeated the entire FBI, contrary to the claims of Christopher Wray yesterday. He suggested that all was well at the FBI. That is clearly untrue. The facts contradict Director Wray's claims.
Wes?
Yeah, this command climate we talked about a moment ago, it permeates the entire organization. That's why it's so serious when the leadership is not functioning the way it should and there's corruption and this kind of thing in the leadership. What struck me about Director Wray's testimony yesterday was his lack of indignation. He dispassionately talked about policies, procedures, and mandatory training. I wanted him to be as upset as the American people are.
You know, the thing that also was concerning there was they said, well, this is just two investigations. But yeah, Barman, those two high-profile investigations the FBI and DOJ have been engaged in decades. So, I mean, it's not just two investigations.
If they can't get these right, then they can't get anything right. Because this should have been their highest level of scrutiny when they knew everything they did, everything they wrote, everything they said was going to be under scrutiny.
Yeah, absolutely.
They still didn't get it right.
All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back here for the last segment of the broadcast. 800-684-3110. Don't forget your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition. right now online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So those that were watching on Facebook were hearing Professor Hutchinson, who was not looking at the clock and realized we were about to go back on live. So I want you to, I'm going to start that again. I mean, I think it was what you said was important, Harry, so let's restate it for our radio audience, too.
So, Jay, I think it's clear that a number of biased FBI officials worked on both the Russia investigation and the special counsel's team. So in my view, every shred of evidence acquired by such individuals ought to be excluded because it is the fruit of a fatally biased, poisonous tree. And so that means that the Mueller investigation is clearly suspect, at least in my opinion.
All right. Let's go ahead and take calls. 1-800-684-3110.
Mark's calling in from Florida on line 6. Mark, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. My question has to do with the questions that the Inspector General received and gave an interesting response to. And it had to do with a number of the emails. Strzok always was referring to a "we" group of people going after Trump or whatever. So my question is, his response was, no, we didn't bother to investigate them because this was only over the Clinton emails. But this "we" group already sounds like one previously established, and that they were now going to go after Trump. Were this group?
Well, the "we," I think the "we" is it was Strzok and Page, but then there was clearly Andy McCabe was involved in those conversations. They had that meeting. Remember the insurance policy, Jordan, meeting in the office. We need this insurance policy. It's like when you're 40, you get it just in case. It's in Andy's office, and the assumption now, and I think Harwood said this, was it was Andy McCabe's office. Now, McCabe denies he was there, although Strzok says he was.
So now you've got one person who says he's willing to testify, by the way, Peter Strzok, who said Andy McCabe was in the office when they talked about the insurance policy. And Andy McCabe, who has been referred to criminal review and investigation, who testified, I'm assuming under oath to the investigators, that he was not or couldn't remember if he was in the office or not. But Peter Strzok, who was certain that Andy McCabe was there.
All right, so let me play John Cornyn, Senator Cornyn, who I actually had the chance to argue a Supreme Court case with. He was my co-counsel in a case out of Texas. He asked an interesting question to Inspector General Horowitz. Take a listen. This is number 17.
General Horowitz, you mentioned that you found no evidence of bias in the investigation, but you qualify that in talking about documentary and testimonial evidence. Right. Are you discounting the text messages from Mr. Strzok and Ms. Page, for example?
No, what we were trying to do was be clear that we were focused on the very specific investigative decisions we looked at, and what was significant about and I'm now talking about the pre-July 5 announcement decisions, was that Strzok, Page, and others were not the sole decision makers there. They were team decisions, and in many cases, prosecutors' decisions, as opposed to the individuals who wrote the emails.
And then he says this, listen very carefully about, we made very clear we were not saying it's every single decision.
We made very clear we were not saying that as to every single decision. As you know from doing these kind of cases, there are hundreds of decisions being made. And in fact, we did not find no bias with regard to the October events.
So the October events are talking about, Andy, is when the emails from Hillary Clinton ended up on Anthony Weiner's laptop. And they said there we did not find no bias. In other words, in there we found bias.
Right, the double negative, meaning that, in fact, they did find bias. Well, clearly, the whole thing was permeated by bias from the beginning, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you can't deny that's the obvious. All right, let's go right back to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Hugh in Utah on line 3. Hugh, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, you.
Hi, Jay. Hey, I'm wondering, we keep talking about the FBI shifted their focus to go after Trump after he won the nomination. My question is was the intent of the FBI before that time to indict Hillary?
I don't think based on what I've seen, I don't think there was any indication whatsoever of an investigation that was looking at indictment. And look, I want to take the view, and this is the view I take. This is not speaking for anybody but lawyers looking at this. We got to move forward. You got to look forward. They've got a U.S. attorney in Utah that's evaluating with what was done and what was not done. But right now there are other matters that are being dealt with, and you have to ask yourself as to those investigations that are ongoing now, what does that taint look like and how does it impact the investigation, Andy?
Well, I mean, that's the problem. I mean, the caller asked the question about Hillary Clinton. Was there really an atmosphere that was going to not charge her, right? Isn't that what he's really wanting to say? And, you know, that we all have personal opinions. My view is there was no way in the world that the Department of Justice under Obama was going to charge Hillary Clinton with anything whatsoever, no matter what she did.
Yeah, so, I mean, Wes, what's your take on it? I mean, not so much from the legal side, but when you've got a situation like this, you've done management and you have things like this. Here, I think you've got to be forward-looking, current and forward-looking. I mean, what happened? We got an Inspector General report showed what happened, but now you got us. But we have ongoing matters that are impacted by this.
Yeah. Where we are as a nation is too important to look back and to try and relitigate all the Hillary investigation stuff. Jay, you know, Watergate was a watershed moment in U.S. history because it forever changed American culture and politics, both in good ways and not so good ways, but it changed us. And this is one of those kinds of moments because we expected so much more from the FBI and the Department of Justice. But at the same time, Jay, I will say this. J. Edgar Hoover is no longer the most controversial and mercurial FBI director.
Yeah, I think that's probably very true. Harry?
Well, my observation is bias with respect to the Clinton investigation is still important because it indicates potential bias against President Trump.
Well, and
so if you look
Harwood
at the record,
says that,
if you look at Strzok's text messages, clearly he was transferring his energy and his intent and focus on stopping President Trump or paralyzing and crippling his administration if he became elected.
All right, let's grab the last call, Jordan.
Yep, let's go to Jeff in Indiana on line two. Jeff, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Jay, real proud of all your work with the Supreme Court as well as the Jerusalem.
Waiting for some decisions. Should have decisions on Thursday coming out. We've got a new case that we're taking up to the Supreme Court, so maybe we'll get to some of those tomorrow and kind of give you a preview of what's ahead. But go ahead.
Awesome. My question is what is the mechanism to unmask this attorney one and attorney two and FBI employee one? Because the concern is what other things have they been working on and what are they working on next?
I'm guessing, I'll let Jordan, because Jordan worked inside the Department of Justice also for a while. I mean, my sense is because they're current employees and it didn't reach a certain level, they're going to protect their identities.
Yeah, I mean, now they're going through that review. So that could lead to potentially, I guess, an unmasking if they were terminated. I'm not sure if you get to keep your anonymity because of terminated for cause. So that may be where that comes to light.
Could be an ongoing matter going on right now.
Right. So that they were referred to that review board. So if they, versus there was a criminal referral out of that, if they were fired because of that, certainly then I think their identity would no longer be covered. But right now, they're still working at the FBI and the Department of Justice, and so they keep their identities covered.
That's it. All right, that does it for the broadcast today. Again, thanks for listening. We appreciate your support of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Your support keeps our work going around the globe. Tomorrow, we are going to be 24 hours away from Supreme Court decisions. So we're expecting a couple of big ones. We'll get into some of that as well tomorrow. And then Thursday, hopefully, we'll get some of those. But there's probably another week of opinions to go. But again, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. ACLJ.org for that. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.